W8 Fox United.
Where are all these Foxes United?
They're a social bunch, so in a field near you.
Maybe at the Cozy.
Actually, it would be Fox Trot uniform. There was a guy, he had a call, he was like a it was a GMRS call, and he was like a something FT, and he used to always say like WR Fox, or you know, Whiskey Romeo Foxtrot 1 2 3, and I'd say that's not enough characters, and he thought FT Foxtrot was two phonetics.
Okay. Cool. Anyways, just heading right into the sun here. Oh, wow. What a better day. Man, that wind was unbelievable yesterday. Any damage on your end?
Not me personally, but check out the Wendy's on DeQuinner, just south of 12. Blew their whole sign right out. It's weird looking, the way it happened.
Wow, okay. I know there was a gas station in Troy that lost its covering over the pumps went down.
Yeah, that was just up DeQuinner a little bit. Somebody told me that was at 12 in DeQuinner, but there's no Shell station at 12 in DeQuinner, so I think it was like 15 in DeQuinner or something. I don't know. No, I don't think there's anything at 15 in DeQuinner either. 14? I don't know, but yeah, somewhere up DeQuinner, you know, somebody lost their whole awning. The flag over here at by the Starbucks is still standing up pretty straight and flapping, but nothing like yesterday.
Yeah, two things I think hams dread the most, wind and lightning. With so much less stress without those two things.
I concur.
Good morning. Just moseying toward breakfast.
At ADF, good morning. Just jumping in here. I saw the repeater was transmitting, or the node. I wanted to check on it. And you guys remind me, I need to go peek at my antenna, because we've been out of power since 3. The winds were so bad.
Are you still without power? It sounds like you've got it back.
No. Generator's been running for 5 hours.
Oh, okay. I am really surprised my generator didn't have to kick in yesterday. Usually when somebody sneezes too hard, our power gets interrupted. I'm really surprised. You know, we had a tree in our backyard that couple of years ago, took out a big limb, came and took out and broke my HF antenna, and we had that trimmed way back early last year, about half the size it was, and thankful of that, because it was a maple, and I guess they're pretty fragile. And the other trees in my yard are all oaks, and you can see they're not going anywhere. So, Sean?
I got one I really worry about. I mean, I got two that could possibly get taken out by the wind, but I got, well, anyone could get taken out by the wind, but I got two in particular that I, but one I worry about, because it's got this huge branch that just looms over my neighbor's garage. I got to get that thing taken down before it becomes an issue. Go ahead, Wally.
Unfortunately, that's one thing I don't have anything off is branches. There is not a tree anywhere near me.
Yeah, Yeah, most of the trees that were threatening our house I got rid of. Our neighbor, next door neighbor, had this big tree in the front of their house and this massive branch just going all the way across the roof of their house. And I was told them, I said, yeah, I couldn't live seeing that there. And they actually, last year, they finally took that down. But there's another branch. This tree in my yard used to have a huge branch over my roof, took that, and then it branches, then it bends back over their house. And I offered them, I said, look, take the whole thing down. They didn't want to, so I just took the limb off that threatened my house. And, they've had some damage from the remaining pieces that have come down on their property. So I said, well, I offered. What else can you do, Sean?
Yep, I gotta get a lot of tree work done, but only one really bothers me, or I worry about the one over my neighbors. But anyhow, where are you at? I just pulled in.
Coming up on 14 mile, so probably 5 minutes. Okay, yeah. Wally?
Only heard Wally one time. It's like he hasn't come back, so weird. Just you, me, and Dakota, I guess.
Dakota?
I'm here, my bad. Just listening. Just peeking at this. I did it again, John, so I'm just trying to pattern it.
It's got to be a problem with the transmitter. The transmit radio. I can't think of anything that would do that, especially throttled back like we've got it. The power supply you're running is more than ample, so just got to be something wrong with that. That's weird. I've not seen that on that particular style of radio. I haven't really seen any problem with those. Things are bulletproof. So I guess come Monday, throw the other one in the car. We can connect up the same way we did for yesterday, then we'll do the same thing, and then you can just swap them.
I assume you're talking about that node setup. How's the duplexer work? That's what I care about. So what's going on with the transmitter? Dakota.
That's right. I owe you a big thanks, too. Appreciate it. It's working great. Really, really good. The only issue we're having, I'm hoping you're still hearing me because I'm doing it again right now, is the transmit radio will start whining and drop the transmit, and I don't know if it's a thermal thing or if just something's bad in the radio, but then it gets to a point, and it seems like it's when it's long-winded, like if it's back-to-back transmissions, so I'm assuming it's thermals, but then if it cools down enough or it's dead enough, it'll stop whining, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, I'm just assuming it's not the node, but it is the node, the transmitter is getting the PTT line constantly.
Yeah, because it was doing it the entire time. I was just, well, I don't know, maybe not, but it was doing it the entire time I was just transmitting, and I think you caught all of it. Another thing I was reading was it could be interference into the radio or PL tone corruption. I don't know how that would make a difference because it works most of the time, and then it like gets hot or something and it stops.
Okay, I was just thinking because you can monitor the the status of the push to talk in COS line, and then make sure listen without a PL maybe and see if that if the actual RF is disappearing.
Dakota, does the radio shut off or does it just stop transmitting? And there's a push-to-talk LED on the front of the radio. Does that go out or does the transmitter just drop?
No, it should changes to the radio, it stays on. The red transmission light stays on. It just makes a whining noise and audio cuts, and then when the whining noise stops, the audio comes back.
Is it possible RF getting into the input of that Newton radio, Sean?
Yeah, it could be. That is weird. Never heard that. And so the radio, you say no audio. Do you have RF? Do you have a carrier?
No, because even locally it drops.
All right, so when it happens, there's still a push-to-talk because it's still in transmit, quote-unquote, but there's no RF, no audio. The RF drops, so we probably have audio, but there is a squealing before it happens. That's strange. You know, I'm thinking thermal as well. Very weird, but you're getting all that warm, are you?
It doesn't feel that hot, but it seems to be when, like I was saying, it's a couple minutes of transmitting that it does it.
Hey, Sean, those are identical radios, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and we're going to do that, but I've got to turn the power down on the receiver one because that one wasn't turned down. Well, neither one was. I had to turn the transmitter one down. You know, it was at 38 watts, and I wonder if we burned something up when it was monkeying up then. Whatever, we're going to do exactly that. He's going to get me the radio on Monday, and we're going to run the power down and pull the switcheroo.
All right, great minds think alike.
Yeah, I think it's an easy fix. I think we just got to swap these with one another, and we'll be off to the races, especially now that it's at 5 watts. That's very plausible, Sean. That thing was getting piping hot. That's why I took it off the air, because I was like, this thing's going to kill itself. And I am watching the receiver transmitter display in ASL, and it looks accurate, so we'll see the next time that this thing starts whining.
All right, well, Phil is just pulling into the parking lot, so I'm going to make this my last get inside for Saturday breakfast.
KPR.
All right, gentlemen, enjoy your breakfast. I'll catch you later. NADBF.
All righty. WAFU.
Okay. W8 meeting.
NAWRO. Good morning, Wally.
Hey there.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, Marion's on the phone with her daughter. Her house, they live in Warren. She doesn't have power either. House is down to 54 degrees.
Okay. So.
Yeah, that's certainly not good. On the second tank of gas, so it worked overnight perfectly and went all the way down to nothing, shut off. So then I went out to south part of town and get two gas cans, and she's fired up again and it's working flawlessly. But I feel bad for those that don't have generators.
Yeah, my buddy's house over there. The one I'm with, his house doesn't, but he's got one of those monster Generex on his house. And his big dilemma was his phone didn't tell him it was running, because I showed him on the map. I says, you don't have power at your house. No, so yeah, lots and lots of power. I guess Kelly's going to go stay at our house for a while, so until they get power. But even in Warren, you know, the bigger cities, they're staying not till 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, I always wonder if they overestimate. And then when it comes on earlier, everybody's a little bit more happier than that. But you never know. It's still out here, that's for sure. And not that it matters that much, but when I went out for gas at about 7, it was still dark. And I did drive by the site,
it's right on the edge there. So let's just say the complex or compound was lit up. So a little unclear if it's on generator power or if it maybe it's not part of the zone.
You'll hear it. It's in the same cage. You drive by, you'll hear it running. Plus, that's considered vital. So that's considered vital, so that thing is going to run no matter what.
Yeah, it's just immediately south of that complex, the streetlights were all on. So a certain small little sliver north of 32 is not in the zone, but most of north of 32 is all out up here.
Yeah, New Baltimore fared pretty well. I'm surprised because, you know, before, 10-mile-an-hour winds, we would lose power, but they said they've done some enhancements to keep that going, and it's been working pretty good the last three storms. I did see, I got a news flash this morning, you know, one of those little notifications. Apparently, because I'm down in Florida, you guys are expecting more storms tomorrow.
NHWRO. It depends on how long this goes. I might have to, I got that little tent protector top to it, little canopy to the generator. I might have to crack that out and put it on. It's fine now because it's not raining cats and dogs, but if it starts raining, I really don't want that generator to get soaked. So that's the reason I got that covered. And I'm looking at the Hoyt phone now because we have no internet. Either internet is down. And the Hoyt phone's just flashing like a Christmas tree because, you know, it's not working. It doesn't have an internet connection. It's got 110 because of the generator, but no internet.
You've got your furnace connected to your generator, right? I mean, that's the big important thing. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, like the question of the week, you know, I got power and I can run my radio and everything else like that, you know. But at the end of the day, kind of like big deal. Okay, do you have heat? You know, I mean, do you have heat and lights? You follow me? That's the two important things. Because if your house gets down to 40, that radio is worthless to you because you're not staying in there. You know, I mean, so I guess that's the other thing. Do you have heat? So I guess I ask you, do you have heat?
Oh, yeah. The generator has enough capacity. I don't know any difference than not being on Edison, with the exception of I have new 220, so no range and no dryer downstairs. And then, you know, not that you need it, but no central air conditioning during the summer. But with all the 110 lines, it can, you know, especially with just one guy, it can power all 110 lines, and no issues with that. The only thing I do notice is it's slightly doing the surging, ever so slightly, you know, up and down, up and down. So I think it's time to get it serviced, get that all cleaned out, because it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be one smooth level. But it is, what do you call that, a particular kind of generator where it, you know, buffers it so that the power is output is always smooth. It, you know, you don't have your lights dimming at all.
Yeah, a carburetor is usually the biggie thing on these things. There's this bolt, a little, like, usually a 10-millimeter nut on the bottom of the carburetor. What you're supposed to do on these generators is you're supposed to turn the gas valve off, run them till they quit running, and then take that little bolt off the bottom of the carburetor. That's the biggest thing. So my bet is you probably got a little bit of gum. And then the other thing that really causes a lot of problems is this oxygenated fuel. You know, if you're just buying regular gas, that's got alcohol in it, it could have up to 10%, and that causes a lot of havoc. So, you know, if you're going to store gas, buy the marine gas. Round Rust, you can get it everywhere, you know, but they call it recreational fuel. That's what you should be storing in, you know, in your containers, and that's what you should be, you know, keeping around for that. I mean, the oxygenated fuel is all right as long as it keeps running and you're burning it through, you know, you follow me? But if it has to sit very long, it doesn't do anybody any favors.
Yeah, I can copy that. And I do that practice of shutting the gas off at the end of a season and, you know, prior to the winter, and letting it run dry. I even tip it so that it, you know, it's, you know, every little drop gets out. But, yeah, it's been 3 years now, maybe 4 years old, I forget. So, yeah, it looks like it just needs carp service. And but it is an inverter. That's the word I was looking for. It's an inverter generator. So I get clean power out of it. So I don't mind running the radios or the, you know, the PC or anything. And, of course, yeah, I get the three things, really, is the furnace for the wintertime, the refrigerator for the food, and in my case, and a lot of others, the CPAP machine. Because if I can't have my CPAP, I'm not sleeping. So last night I got, you know, full night's sleep. So there you go.
Yeah, Kelly's
yeah, that's the biggest thing. Kelly's going to go to her mom's house and stay there and get warm. But, yeah, that's the biggest thing, heat. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, do you have enough power to run your furnace? And that's the most important thing. That should be the question of the week sometime, you know. Do you have enough to run utilities, refrigerator, you know, things like that, sump pump even. You know, I got my house was built on a swamp, so I got three redundancies. I got, you know, I got the regular electric sump pump. I got a water jet backup sump pump, and I have, you know, the Generac hooked up to the house. So I have three redundancies, you know, so to keep the basement, because water is what scares me. I mean, that I've seen so much damage over my life because of water in the basements and things like that, so I've got it triple protected. So, you know, even if the pump does fail, the water pump will kick on.
Yeah, this whole topic was one of John's questions a couple of nights ago, but in my case, because I'm on the high elevations, almost 40 years here, so I don't want to jinx myself or anything, but we have no sump pumps in the basement, and it's not a problem for natural water from the outside trying to come in, just because of the fact we're so high, and there's such a nice draw away from the house. However, if I were to ever have a plumbing failure and a plumbing break, I would be in big trouble because I don't have an actual sump pit or sump pump. But other than that, I also have a gas fireplace, so, and that's independent. I can turn that. As long as I have a gas supply, I could warm up in front of the fireplace for a little bit there.
You know, the other thing you could do with your generator is a lot of companies make natural gas kits for those. You could get, and they're relatively easy to put on. The only hard part is getting the fitting put on outside. That you'll have to probably have done by a plumber, you know, somebody with a, you could do it, you know, 25 trips back and forth to the hardware store, but you could do that too, you know, and then just run your inverter generator on natural gas, and that way you would never have to worry about anything. The thing would run all night.
NAWRO, yeah, I made that decision not to get the dual-use one. You know, maybe in retrospect I should have done it, but I'm not too drastically worried about it. Every time I use it, it is for a day, two. I think the last I did, I think I was telling you, 3 years ago during the summer, my daughter was actually here after she moved back to Michigan, had the whole crew here with the kids and all. We were like 3 days on this thing. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a pain because you got to shut it down to refuel it, you know, because you're not going to dump gas in it. It's a hot generator running. That's just not safe. And but other than that, it's not too bad. But, of course, it's would be a little bit better. I got a fire call, so stop transmitting. Over to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of important, you know. Like I said, the heat. The sump pump, you know, all of the vital things, that's important. And my generator, there's two panels in my house, you know, you know what I do. So I put the other panel in my house. And basically all the stuff that draws big current isn't on the generator because the generator is only 7.5. But it's fully automatic. It could be storming out there like all get out, and I don't have to go outside. It starts. If it's above a certain temperature, it starts and runs for 30 seconds, then transfers. If it's below a certain temperature, it takes it about a minute and a half because it waits till the motor gets up to a certain temperature before it transfers. But I think I told you, I've got the washer, dryer, dishwasher, microwave. The stove is electric. The oven's electric. The stove, the top part of the stove is gas. I've got all of those appliances exempt from the generator because I just don't have the power. But everything else, and the air conditioner, of course, everything else is on it. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure I didn't go over 7,500 watts. And you usually don't. It's what it's the starting of all of those things. That's where you really notice you don't have a super big generator. Because, you know, if you just take an ammeter and check your current, what you're drawing, you're not drawing that much. It's the starting power. So that's why some people buy these, you know, 22Ks, 20Ks, 18Ks, put them on their house. There's no way in the world you would ever need 18K in a house. But to start your air conditioner, start your dryer, start everything with a motor, that's where you need all of that horsepower.
All these appliances that you guys mentioned, and nobody's mentioned the beer fridge. I'm so disappointed. Good morning, gentlemen. W8RCY, in and out.
Hey, WRO, good morning, Donald. Well, you know, the main fridge has a little compartment for that, so we probably got that covered. Yeah, well, you're talking about the surge. When you put on a high draw appliance or something, if there's a surge to it, so yeah, you got to consider that, but, I'm happy it works and I'm okay with, but you're right. There's a procedure where I have to go out and pull it out of the garage, run the cord, the 220 cord, plug it in the input. And so I have that interlock in my panel. I go down, cut off the main breaker, slide the interlock up. So the main house breaker can't go back on, and then I can slide the input breaker on. I turn all the circuits off, so it's completely all off. So, and then when I start the generator, I get down in the basement one at a time, click them on just one at a time. So any load just kind of lightly loads up the generator rather than ker-chunking it all at once.
Yeah, and that's where a big generator has its value, because it can handle the ker-chunk, the full load. That's where it has its value. But, the other downside to a big generator is that, and this is one of the reasons why I want the smaller generator, is the amount of fuel it burns, okay? So let's say if it's sitting there running, okay, I mean, you could have, you could be burning. It's like running a 454 in a, motor, big enough set for a 6.2-liter motor, in a little car, So you're burning all that fuel consumption. I think mine's burning like 120,000 BTUs or something like that, which is basically a furnace. But, if you got a generator that's 20K, now you're burning 300K of fuel, and you're burning it even though it's not being used, So you could end up with a massive gas bill. So if you have a power outage for a week or two, I mean, you could have like some super crazy gas bill. And my buddy's house, Steve's my partner, his has been running since 3 o'clock yesterday, and he's got a big house on an island out there, but he's got a 22K generator, and okay, dude, your furnace is running, so there's 100 and some thousand. So he's running basically 400,000 BTUs of natural gas right now through his meter. Wait till he sees his gas bill, So that was my biggest deciding factor of going with the smaller generator was the fuel consumption. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Wally. I was just a quick in and out, you guys, like I said, going through the whole list is like, what about the beer fridge? My fridge is so empty, I got room for at least a couple cases of beer because I don't drink beer anymore, but I do have my fair share of other things in, excuse me, in my fridge. But with my girlfriend, oh my God, if the wine cooler, she has a full bar in her basement. If the wine cooler were to go out, oh my God, she'd be in a panic for sure. I'll let you gentlemen continue on. That was my 2 cents. Everybody have a great day. Be safe.
You as well, Donald. Yeah, I was going to say the beer is only like a cold one, maybe in a hot summer day. But for me, it's more like wine. Same thing. She likes wine, so I keep some chilled inside. But, yeah, that might be an issue if you couldn't have that. But, Wally, yeah, what you're talking about there on this one, the two different kinds, of course. I'm talking about the petrol kind, the gas kind now. They on Champion has something called Eco Mode, and you drop Eco Mode in for, like, overnight when you're not going to be – and it kind of drops it down. I forget what rating this is. I forget which one it is as far as how much it puts out. But it quiets it down for the nighttime, and, you know, it lessens the consumption of fuel. So it does two things. I tried to do it last night, but with a slight surge up and down, up and down, when I turned the Eco Mode on, it really was pronounced. So I got to get to that carburetor, clean it out, or I'll probably just put it in for service. Back over to you, Wally. Go ahead.
Well, actually, just to let you know, if it's a true inverter generator, it's supposed to vary the RPM. A true inverter generator only runs with what it needs. So grab your voltmeter and check the stability of your voltage while you're in eco mode, and make, if it stays at 120 and stays at 60 hertz, you're fine. I mean, they're supposed to do that. They change RPM. It's based on what's running and what's not. That is actually the way that those are supposed to work.
Oh, copy that. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. If I were to turn a load on, then it definitely raises the RPMs automatically. And when that load drops off, it, you know, you can tell. You can hear it from, you know, even inside the house. So it's not that. This is like, you know, just like every few seconds you hear just a little wave or two. It's a dirty carburetor is what it is, and like that. But what you're talking about is like you turn a load on, RPMs increase, and they stay increased. The sound stays the same. So, and mine normally operates that way. This is the first time since I've turned it on that I hear a little waver in it. Little dirty carburetor waver, not like, you know, some lawnmowers you hear that are just doing it very pronounced. It's not quite there yet, but I want to get it cleaned out and taken care of.
That's my sign. It's LW8BD. What was your fire call? Anything significant?
I don't know. I turned it down. It's so loud with the tone outs. It's probably another lift assist. But I'll tell you, they were busy last night. Man, were they busy. And this is all tree down. Trees down, tree down, tree down. Trees taking primaries out. Trees taking transformers out. That's what this is. A big tree took some primaries and a transformer offline. So Edison got to the scene about 9 o'clock last night. I presume they're working all overnight, but you know, we're still down. I did check the recent estimate, but it said something about 11:30 tonight. So I may even have another tank of gas to go through. We'll see.
Well, go see if you can find yourself some rec fuel and run a tank of rec fuel through it. That might help clean out your carburetor, too, get rid of that alcohol. I'm sure it's all over. I know even Myers carries it there at 26 mile. So, you know, just run 5 gallons of that through it. That might help you out a little bit. You know, might as well take advantage of it because if it can clean itself, you know, that's a heck of a lot better and probably a little bit cheaper, make it a little bit nicer. Yeah, we flew out last night and or yesterday afternoon. The plane was about an hour late. You know, they were running late because of the weather, but he waited on the end of the runway. We were bouncing around there on the end of the runway. He waited for the wind to get just right. I think we sat there at the end of the runway for about 10 minutes, and then finally he punched it. And about the first 10 minutes of the flight were pretty rough. He said it was going to be, but once he got up over the clouds, it was smooth sailing the entire trip.
Well, glad you had a good flight. So I assume, what are you on, the repeater phone right now?
Yeah, I'm down in Orlando waiting for Marion to get dressed. going to go get a cup of coffee and light breakfast.
I haven't been there for quite some time, but got a lot of family members in Orlando and also Melbourne in the Atlantic area, too. So a lot of the nieces are down there.
Yeah, it's partly cloudy. Last night we sat outside by one of those little fake fire things. It was about 72 degrees. A little fake fire brought it up, so it was comfortable. You were able to sit out there without a coat. So I'd like to say I felt sorry for all you guys in, you know, 50-mile-an-hour winds at 40-degree temperatures, but I didn't.
That's all right. You deserve a little R&R. All right, cut you loose. Have a good time down there, Wally. Stay safe. N-A-W-R-O after you.
Take care. Keep warm. Take my advice. Go buy some Rec Fuel. Fill that next can up with Rec Fuel and dump that in there. W-A-B.
Oh, yeah, Phil, do you see that sign? No. Where is it? Well, it looks like at least one over here on the left just before the Burger King. It looks like Salvatore Scalapini's blew out. Maybe even the one in front of it. But if you go right and on the Quinner here, the one from Wendy's, it blew completely out.
Oh, no, I'm blocked. I can't see anything over there.
Yeah, well, flip the guy off in front of you. Say, move your...
Aren't you turning red right here?
No, I got to go someplace. I got to go to that Smokin' Bear tobacco place right there. And I just remembered I have to go there, so I'm going to turn into this lot, make the loop around.
Oh, yeah, I see the Wendy's. Totally gone.
And then Salvatore Scalapini's right there on your left.
The other side's still intact. Huh. So weird.
Yeah, a lot of things got winded.
Yeah, I always have to chase the lids off my garbage cans in the backyard every time there's strong winds. Yesterday I said, screw it, I just want to wait till the morning because if I put it on, it's going to just disappear again.
Yep, crazy. All right, I got to jump out here. It's Smokin' Bear. Be back. WNFU.
You're being, what do they call it? Enabler. Got to stop that. Catch you later. KPR.
Hey, Sean, real quick. You got power.
I think he's out, but he didn't say anything about not having power.
Okay, yeah, Marion's daughter doesn't have power, and her house is down into the low 50s. So she's going to come up and stay at our house. We're down in Florida, but she's in Cottage Lane over in Warren, and I wasn't sure. Yeah, I'm sure Sean would have said something if he didn't have power, but they're saying not till midnight now.
What area is she in?
Cottage Lane in Warren.
Can look at the DTE outage map. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I watched it last night. So we fared pretty well up by my house. You know, I can... My generator doesn't have a thing to tell me it's running, but I can look in the cameras and see if the stove is on or not. That's how I know. You know, the clock in the stove.
Okay. What type of generator do you have?
I have a Generac, but I got a Generac with split panels. Mine's only 7.5K, so it doesn't run the big stuff. It just runs the little stuff.
Is it connected with the Wi-Fi?
No, I did not get that option.
Well, okay, because, yeah, the app keeps me informed. It's a fee every year. It's not a lot, but I like being able to tell them it's exercising, tells them there's a problem, except when the Wi-Fi module went bad and I have that replaced, but that was under warranty.
Yeah, mine doesn't do that, but if it's on, well, I do use the app. That's pretty accurate. I do get notifications from DTE saying, you know, we're doing our best to get your power back on. That's usually within 15, 20 minutes of an outage. And, you know, also, too, no matter where you're at, you know, with today's communications, you can kind of sense right away if you have power or not.
Yeah, I remember the old days when in my office or whatever, if I wanted, if there was a power issue, I would always call the fax machine line. If it didn't pick up, I knew the power was out.
Yeah, pretty similar. I just looked at the cameras. Well, because the stove, the oven of the stove is electric, and the top part of the stove is gas. The burners are gas. But I don't have that hooked up to the generator, so I just look at the camera and see if the clock is on, off, or blinking, and that's kind of tells me. That's my indicator, similar to the fax machine.
Okay, where are you in Florida?
Orlando. I've got to work Monday, Tuesday, half of Wednesday. Marion is relaxing, but we got here early to do Florida things, which we haven't done much of yet. So we flew out yesterday in the wind, but I was telling Tim, yeah, I got here late, you know, because of the wind and stuff. I figured, I was shocked we even took off. But he waited at the end of the runway about 10 minutes, waited for the right timing, and then just punched it. The first 10 minutes was pretty rough, but after that, once he got above the clouds, we didn't. It was like nothing was different, nothing was wrong.
Walter!
What up?
Are you ground wiring or noding? You sound like you're noding, but it's hard to say.
I'm done with ground wire. Star 99 pound. I like this one. Plus, if I'm talking on top of somebody, I can tell it kind of does the full duplex thing. So this app is nice.
Oh, repeater phone. There you go. Good deal. All righty. Phil?
Yeah, I guess that must be an iOS thing only, because I couldn't find it on Android.
I'll let Sean answer that one. So, Sean, you got two questions. What's the alternative on Android? And the other question is, do you have power? Kelly, Marion's daughter, is on Cottage Lane in Warren, and she doesn't have power, and it's sounding like it's going to be a while.
Yeah, we got all sorts of wind damage all around us, mostly the businesses. You know, the signs are all blowing out and stuff, but no power outage. We had one blip yesterday, but we're good. Knock on wood. I did see some, I heard that, you know, that sound of a power transformer going off, and, you know, saw the flash in the sky to the north of me, but, yeah, holy cow, we got ice on the road here. That's crazy. Yeah, we got power just good, all good where we're at. As far as the repeater phone app, there is not, as far as I can tell, an equivalent. I guess the closest thing would be DV Switch, and an app that has a push to talk instead of a key sequence. But I guess the repeater phone's nicer than DV Switch, but I don't have an iOS device I can run it on, so there's that. Phil.
means there's, excuse me, the other way around, there's Android apps and no Apple equivalent. So, all right, well, that sounds good. Yeah, I mean, TV switch can be okay. It's, you know, it's a little clunky. So, wouldn't mind having some with a nicer interface. So, Wally, it sounds like you're down there for business, but got some time for some pleasure there, too.
Yeah, somebody told me it was a workcation. So Sunday night we go out to dinner, just a social mingle thing, you know, snacks and drinks. Monday we have a meeting. I think Monday afternoon they have a golf outing. I'm not going to go to that. These guys have all got handicaps and keep accurate scores and things like that. When I golf, I like to golf just for fun. I usually don't keep score, even though I do golf once a week in the summertime, and I base my my golf ability on how many balls I lose or not lose. So we'll probably go to Epcot Center, depending on the weather, or SeaWorld or something. Plus, when I'm down doing tourism things, I want to do tourism things. I don't want to go to golf courses. Yeah, I think where you saw that flash, that must have been around Kelly's house, because I think she's north of you, and but she said her house was getting cold. She's in Warren as well. Go ahead, Sean. WAB.
Yeah, I just pulled up. I'm going to get inside, but what was the street again? I'll look that up because, yeah, it was due north of me. I heard that boom, that noise they make, and then the sky lit up and all that. It's like they make that weird rumbling noise when they give way. That was happening as we were walking in the door last night to the north quite a bit. All right, I'm here. I'll be back on from inside in just a short. But give me the street again.
Cottage Lane.
All right, yeah, I'll look and see where that is. It doesn't ring a bell. All right, I will be back here in a minute.
W8FU. Yeah, so yeah, you're right, Phil. It's usually the other way around. Usually there's always apps that you want related to amateur radio that are Android only. This is unusual to have one that's iOS only.
Yeah, it's usually why I tell people why I stick with Android and Windows is just because there's a lot of ham radio stuff that just isn't available on the iOS. So, anyways, yeah. See, didn't, too bad you couldn't be there earlier. They had Hamcation there just a couple weeks ago, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, I saw that guy from Texas, the one that does all the YouTube videos about ham radio 2.0 or whatever it is. Yeah, he went to that one. So, yeah, I think if I would have done that, I would have had to do that one on my own because she definitely would not have gone. So, but, yeah, the weather, it's partly cloudy here, somewhat warm. They're calling for rain every day. So I did get a notification from one of the local news stations up there that you guys are supposed to get another high wind storm tomorrow, they're calling for.
Yeah, this is going to be some snow overnight. I'm supposed to go to Toledo Swap tomorrow, but we'll see how it looks when I get up. If it's too messy or slippery, I won't do it. So we'll see about that. Yeah, I went to a Hamcation once. I mean, it's supposed to trip down there just for that. Just that I wanted to do it. I keep playing it's the, Dayton of the South. And I went through and I said, nope, not even close.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Dayton. And so, you know, how does it compete against Dayton? Because as long as I've been in and out of this hobby lots and lots of years, and it's always been Dayton. So, yeah, I was talking to Tim, NAWRO, a little while ago. He's probably listening. He's out of power, too. and I guess it's going to be a while for him as well. But he's fortunate enough to have an inverter generator, so he's able to run the important things in his house. You know, first of all, you know, the ham radio, but you know, the second most important thing is the heater, the furnace. So he's got enough power there to run his furnace and stuff. Little inconvenience because you've got to keep going buying gas, but I guess it beats being cold and, you know, not staying in your house.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's the main reason I have my generators, you know. Make sure the sump pump runs, make sure the furnace runs, you know, that those kind of things. I got the whole house, and it's got the circuitry in there for the air conditioning runs through it, and as long as there's not the load issue, it will run the air conditioner, but it will shut it off if there is a load issue. Then I have this UPS that I used to have in my office. It's a 3kW UPS that runs all my electronics. It's all on there, so even if there's a power outage, those don't even see it. And then the generator kicks on, takes over, and so it doesn't even know anything happens.
Yeah, in my office, I got two cheapy cyber powers, I think. I can't remember. They were both under a couple $100, 900 kVA. And same thing. The office doesn't know anything happened. You know, the internet doesn't know anything happened. So I have all of the stuff that I really prefer not to get a glitch. I have all of that stuff on the UPS power. I did buy one for the television, and I never did put it on there because I wanted a protected television. So, but I never got around to it, so right now it's sitting there as a charging block for my handy talkies, which is kind of a stupid, great waste of resources, but it was something stupid that I did. But, yeah, I know as far as ham stuff goes, I know Tim got hit pretty good, so for power. Looks like she's getting dressed. WAB. Oh, she is dressed. WAB.
Yeah, my main cable box and TV in the living room, I ran a separate line just to that, because, if the power even glitches on that, you know, that takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes to reset, so I put that on there, so it never has an issue with that. I love having that, and one time when I think I generally ran about 50 hours a few years ago, and I dreaded opening up that gas bill.
Yeah, it's funny. That's what Tim and I were talking about. And that was the other reason why I decided to go with the smaller generator. You know, the bigger generators are great for starting things. You know, realistically, once you get your air conditioner rolling and your dryer rolling and everything else like that, but that's the advantage of the bigger generators. But the problem with the bigger generator is it's using 300,000 BTUs of fuel. And mine only uses, on full load, only uses like 125,000 BTUs of fuel. So that was my other concern long-term running. I just saw on the news, Fox News, 4 feet of snow in Marquette by Monday.
Well, I'm not going up there, so I don't really care.
All right, sir. I have to step out. I'm going to get dressed because I'm kind of getting looked at, and she wants coffee. So I will chat with you a little bit later. W8BD, Claire Fears.
Okay. Hello to Mary. Enjoy your breakfast. See you, Peter.
W8BD.
Yeah, Wally, according to ZTE down detector, Cottage Lane should be back on by 4 p.m. today. WABPD.
Thanks, Brian.
Good afternoon, Stateside. This is a UK station calling through Echolink. Mike 3, Fox Golf Romeo. Mike 3, Fox Golf Romeo. UK station standing by for any contacts.
KJO.
KSAFQN, listening.
That's a nice strong signal you got there, Wyatt. KJO.
Yeah, thank you. Base antenna or my base station, geez. Connected over to the Romeo repeater. Your signal's pretty strong as well. I'm reading you as a 9 on the S meter.
I am on the Warren repeater.
Hey Roger, yeah, I'm not surprised. I feel like everybody thought to use uses the Warren repeater. Great city guys all live around there, but yeah, Romeo for me is the best. I can get into the Romeo outside my HT, so I like using that one the best.
Oh yeah, you're coming in nice and strong.
Yeah, I checked out my signal at Echolink, and yeah, there's not really any static or zero static. But how's your day been going?
Well, I was at home tearing up boxes in my radio room and, you know, getting things kind of straightened up there because I share the room with my daughter's library, so. And then I get a phone call from work saying I need to go out to Ann Arbor, so now I'm heading out to Ann Arbor.
Oh, really? Do you know why you have to go all the way up to Ann Arbor?
Because I'm the emergency on-call technician for this week, so they called up because they had an emergency, so I'm going out there to fix the alarm.
Oh, that sounds pretty fun. Well, it's kind of cool, though. I mean, that's cool. Gonna be that. You probably don't like it, but to me it sounds pretty cool.
Nope, I don't mind it 98% of the time. There's a couple times where I'm like, I don't want to go out. You know, I don't feel like it. I have to, but I go anyways. But besides that, no, I don't mind it at all.
Okay, well, that's good. This wind, I don't know about you guys, but yeah, we've been getting, like, really bad wind. We've been on a lot, or it just ended, like, at 10 a.m. today, or 10 p.m. yesterday, who knows. But yeah, that wind was bad. My antenna held up, I could not talk today, thankfully.
Oh, yeah, I was driving home from Petoskey yesterday, and I was getting blown all over the road, and I got a full-size van. So, if it's pushing me around, just imagine what it's doing to the semis. But,
It pulled a bunch of siding down at my neighbor's house, and he doesn't even know it yet, so we took pictures and sent it to him saying, you know, look what happened, and I hope you'll get it taken care of, because the whole side of his house in one portion is all exposed.
Yeah, well, that's bad if it's swinging a whole vehicle around. And, yeah, in the Discord, I forgot to set it out. It was Cliff. That, tree and stuff, that was bad. I dug out a hole that I just, kind of like a trench that I, like, go in, and there's a huge, or multiple, like, big, tree branches on that. But, yeah, that was horrible. I'm glad it's gone, finally.
Oh, yeah, it was bad last night. I went to bed, and it was blowing really hard. Then realized that, the old telephone cable ripped out of my neighbor's house and brought down a bunch of the siding, so. And that's how windy it was.
Yeah, that's bad if it's doing that. Oh, there it is, sorry. We have, like 40-mile-an-hour wind gust, because of the stupid weather. It went from 60, 70 degrees all the way down to 20 in the 30s. It's horrible. Michigan cannot decide what climate it wants to be.
They always say, welcome to Michigan, wait 5 minutes and the weather will change.
Yeah, I know. Not even the weatherman could predict it. They say it's going to snow, and it's going to be like 20 degrees, and now it's going to be like 70 degrees and rainy.
Well, I think tonight we're supposed to get like 1 to 3 inches of snow, but we'll see. Being up in Petoskey, up in the upper portion of the state, we got hit with a pretty good snowfall up there. It was a rough drive going from Petoskey to Grayling. You know, roads were all snow-covered and slushy, icy, and windy, so it was not a fun drive for the beginning portion of it.
Oh, really? I've never heard of Petoskey. I've never heard of that place, but, yeah, I'm so glad that wind is gone and all that bad weather, but, yeah. And I'm not looking forward to getting snow. I'm kind of tired of the snow and the coldness. Today's actually nice, though. It's nice and sunny out. So that's a kind of a bonus. It's like Michigan telling us that enjoy this day before you guys get horrible weather again. Have you heard of this group named Yachts? I forgot what it is. Oh, yeah, Young Amateurs Communications Ham Team.
KCAK Joe. No, I have not. That sounds like a pretty interesting group, though.
Yeah, I have no idea who they are either. Well, I'm a member now. I just did some research, and I filled out this form. It didn't cost anything. And they sent me a certificate saying I'm a member. I don't really need an Echo Link. They have a node. But it was founded in 2007, but I got an email saying, like, they seen a Discord message, probably on the East Coast Reflector Discord, and they watched my YouTube channel, and they wanted me to join. CFAF2N Friday.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you, yeah. So I think their next session is today at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm going to see what all that's about and stuff. But yeah, I've never heard of them either. It sounds fun, though.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'll be fun. I think, who's the other kid that's out there? Sean? I think Ben is the other one. The other young operators that are on on the radio. Haven't heard much of them lately except for that one day that you were talking with Sean.
Yeah, I haven't heard Ben in the air before. I know I don't really know him in person, but Sean's talked to a couple of times, about like four times maybe. But yeah, it's exciting hearing him on the repeater and everything. Another young instructor I could talk to.
Well, I hear Ben sometimes in the morning, because he takes his radio with him to school, and he's in school on the radio, and I think Sean does the same thing, but I'm not sure though, but I've heard him in the morning too. It's nice to hear some refreshing voices, young voices. Congrats to all three of you for getting your tickets and being on the air. Keeping the hobby alive.
Yeah, it's a fun hobby. I don't understand why you could see the hobby is kind of dying. And maybe it will never die, but still, you know what I mean. It's not really a big hobby as much as it used to be, like what I've seen and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely fun. There's so many types of modes and stuff you could do, so many things you could do on ham radio. I'm glad I found out about it, and I'm glad they did, but, yeah, it's fun, obviously, KF8, FGN Friday.
Yeah, it's way different from when I started. Now you have, all these repeaters that are interlinked, and you can just talk to somebody up in Sault Ste. Marie while you're down here in Inland City or Detroit. You know, so, all because of advancements in the hobby, pretty cool.
Yeah, found out how repeaters are linked, via internet or something like that, I think so, who knows, but I'm looking at the radios, from what, I'm saying, 70s, I've seen some, to now, and there's a huge difference, like how we have colored screens now and how smaller the radios are, like the one I'm transmitting on, the Anytone. Can't be FCN, sorry about that, I don't know what happened. The Anytone and everything, how small they got. The HD's improved like crazy. Like for $30 in Amazon, you can get a UV, what was it? UV32, and with a kind of cheap antenna that will like get you out 14 miles for the low price of like $30. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, I got a couple Baofengs, I got a Retevis, I got a couple Titans and TYPs. The one I'm on is a Yaesu. I have an Alinko upstairs in a library radio area room. I have a Motorola, and I have a tape. I got radios here and there.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. I'm trying to get a radio on the radio on the car. I kind of want this Anytone to stay here. I'm kind of using this Anytone for two purposes. I'm building up my emergency kit. I think I told you that. I did. That emergency kit. I'm going to get a battery and everything for it. I'll probably use it for that, and so over the years, I kind of get a new mobile radio, I'll probably use that new one for an emergency kit. I already got the battery down for it, it's a 12-volt, 10-amp-hour battery. I don't have it yet, but something to ask for Christmas. But yeah, lots of ham radios, lots of different brands, lots of radios.
Yep, the more you get into the hobby, the more you expand your horizons in it, getting a general and an extra license, opens up a whole other can of worms in regards to equipment.
Yes, it does. Some people, that's another thing, some people specialize in one thing, I don't know, let's say analog, or yeah, DMR, or somebody's like good at one thing or multiple things. But yeah, back to that, there's yeah, so many different things. DMR, analog. I like analog the most. I've never tried out DMR. Probably be fun. The antennas are really cool too. Like there's so many antennas, you never get to know all of them.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really neat is you build your own, and when you get it all, that's if you are out and matched and get it just right. I mean, it's crazy how efficient they are and how neat you can make them.
Yeah, and there's so many different ones. Like, I think there's one that uses a coax cable as an antenna. And I think there's like a really big, I think I said it in the Discord, there's like a huge Yagi, and the thing is, it's like 100 feet like, wide or something. It's in like Switzerland or something. Huge antenna though, and I don't know like the range on it. It was like 100, or gotta be over that, like 500 miles. For analog, it was insane. But yeah, a lot of antennas. That's kind of what got me into the hobby too. KFA F2N, back over to you.
KKKJL. Well, Captain Dunn, he has one that goes out of his house. He goes all the way up in a pine tree. Super high up there. And that one is for his HF rig. He talks to Buffalo, New York, and I think we heard something in Puerto Rico on it. And all it is, you know, send it from one end to the other with the balance. That's because you were up all night talking on your radio, right?
Okay, good, good, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe I was going to stand up for too long. Who knows?
Oh, I get it. I was once your age.
Yeah, well, it was nice talking to you. I gotta go. I kind of want to test out my airsoft gun. I put a cyberscope on it, so I want to see a range on it. Well, it was nice talking to you, and maybe I'll catch you on the air again, maybe today or tomorrow, who knows. And you have a good rest of your day. And this is KFA, FQM, 7 degrees, and clear and relaxed.
Alright, why have fun. I'm going to be out and about today, so I've got another 45-minute drive to get to Ann Arbor, and of course, get the bus, turn around, and go back home. So I'll be here, and if I want to chat, have fun out there. Enjoy the day. 73 from KGO.
Roger, 73, so this is KFNE, F2N, clear.
WATAP.
ATMR from NADF. I didn't hear anything that time.
Alright, hopefully I fixed it. After freezing my butt off all morning at the lacrosse tournament, got home, I said, well, I might as well freeze a little longer since it was no wind. Climbed up there and adjusted some stuff, so let me know if it's sounding any better.
I think you're good now. What was it?
So you guys are right. The it was the coax up by the antenna was just, it wasn't super loose, but it was just slightly unscrewed. So I undid it, retaped it, weather, you know, with the weather tape, and put it all back together. So I made sure it was tight this time, and keep my fingers crossed, hoping that that took care of the problem.
When I put mine up, I taped the crap out of it. I put self-amalgamating tape in the, wrap it in the direction of tightening the coax, and then I put, I forgot what, 3M electrical tape on it, the UV resist stuff, which doesn't matter because it's in a tube, but I taped the crap out of that too, because that's the last thing I want to worry about is it coming loose.
Yeah, I taped it before. I think it had like a slight burr or something on one of the threads. So it was just enough where it wasn't cinched down all the way. But hopefully that was it. I got it all unwrapped, tightened it, checked everything, made sure there was no moisture, and then tightened it, and then, like you said, I taped the crap out of it, so, and then put it all back up.
KJO.
Well, you sound good now, about as good as you always did, so I think you're hopefully in the clear. And I was up in Imlay today, and I was still full quieting into the repeater, so I think we got some solid coverage out here. Go ahead, Tom.
Which tower did you repair? Richmond or Romeo?
Oh, no, it was just my antenna at home. Had some crackling going on the other night and found out my coax was a little loose on it.
Nothing a little super glue won't solve. Just kidding. Who's out there? I mean, I got Dakota out there. Hey, Dakota. The voice sounds familiar, but I don't know who it is. KKK Joe.
This is Phil, K8TMR.
Oh, I haven't heard you on the waves for a while.
There's a repeater in Elmont now, so he can sit in his house with an HT.
Yeah, most of the time I can get on, too. It seems like, you know, it's after everyone's on in the morning drive, or, you know, I always just miss it. I'm either just getting on and everyone's getting off or whatever, so trying to get on is a little more and get my call out there and use the repeater a little more.
Well, you know me, I'm always out here. So Dakota, is it another repeater with another frequency, or is it just a receive site?
It is a high-profile node, so it's on my base station antenna, and it's two Motorolas with a duplexer. So it's 445.5 with a negative 5 offset and a 123 PL.
It's a legitimate repeater.
Oh, all right. You're going to have to text that to me so I can put it in the radio and download it. You said it too fast and I'm driving.
Yeah, Dakota, on my way back earlier, I tuned to it by 69 in Van Dyke, and no interference. As soon as I got to Hollow Corners and Shoemaker, that interference was starting again.
I noticed that when I was out and about, too. Like, as soon as I got towards, Dryden, is when it started picking up for me. But then I got north of there and it was fine. So there's something in the area that's annoying.
That means Wyatt can hit it with his HT from his house.
Yeah, he should be able to. I've talked to him before from the from my house, and I'm not too far away from Dakota.
So it'll be the NADBF link to Richmond?
No, I think 43732 is either Warren or the FBI hub, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's connected up to 43732, that's where the repeaters connect. I'm just glad that interference wasn't localized to my house. It would have drove me nuts. I would have been searching and searching and come to find out it's just something in the area, so that makes me feel better. And then as long as this radio is doing better, I think I'm on the way up now, so it's better than it was yesterday.
Yeah, and this thing, I mean, it should have, in theory, 100% uptime, too, once I get this radio swapped. I'm going to flip-flop them, and I think that'll stop that transmit issue, Phil. But it's been running on Starlink and generator power since 3 a.m., so uptime should be about 100%.
Hey, Dakota, you know what you might want to try? Try the channel 2. The duplexer should be close enough to try it. Just see if that interference is. If the interference is not there, we can touch it up and just move it to frequency 2.
I'll have to go look up what that channel 2 frequency was. I took a picture of it, and then I can just turn on the 705 and look at the scope. But yeah, that might be the ticket.
So the problem you're having up there, and I heard you double there, Tom. Just give me one sec. So the problem you're having up there, you can hear that on the output. So you could take your 705 and see it. If that's the case, check those other three. You know, because there's two others.
There's three total I gave you. One of them is just a different PL. And check all three of them. If one of them sounds good and clear, let's just get this right. Let's just move it to the other, and you won't have to deal with it.
I unfortunately did not get any of that because the radio cut out.
I said, let's just figure out, use your radio to figure out which of the three, you know, are clean up there. And if you've got some sort of problem up there you can't locate, let's just tweak it and move it to one of the other two. And you'll be fine. Hell, even if you use that channel 3 with a different PL, I'll talk to you about it offline.
Yeah, I just turned on the scope on my 705. There's definitely something below where we're at the 445, and right on it.
I'm going to send you a text. Hold on.
Okay. I'm going to jump out for a little bit. I got to test something, but I'll be back here probably half an hour, and I'll keep an eye out for that text. NADBF.
All right. We'll talk to you later on, Dakota. Tommy, still out there? All right. I guess he's gone, too. So, all right. I will talk to you guys later on, then. I will jump out as well. K8TMR.
This is KFAF2N, sorry about that, I was testing out an antenna. Again, this is KFAF2N, clear for now.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
NAIAJ.
Connected to CMN Network.
NAIAJ.